Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
Honor is something you give from the heart, not based on merit, but simply because it's the right thing to do. Let me go back to the presidential example. You could vehemently disagree with politics of our current president or a former president, but if either one of them walked through the door, we would honor them because of the office, not because of the choices. Are you with me? So there's an important thing to understand there. We should, as believers, be walking this out, though, in personal lives. Can I tell you something? I really, truly believe that something crazy is about to happen in our church. I think God's about to do something phenomenal. But can I tell you, that's only going to happen in the context of honor. If we're not sowing honor, if we're not treating each other on that level, but instead we're treating each other as menial or common, we're losing sight of that. Because can I tell you something? Not one of you in this room are menial. Not one of you in this room are common. Why? Because you were paid with a price. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. Jesus loved you that much. There is nothing ordinary about you. And I can tell you, if you have more than a 5-minute conversation with me, there's not much ordinary about me either. And I am more than okay with that. We need to grab a hold of what this idea looks like. And I want to show you something in the Bible to kind of help us move that direction. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it just simply says, "And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." I'm going to unpack that, but I want you to understand it a little bit better by looking at it in the message as well, where it says this: eventually the entire generation died and was buried. Then another generation grew up that didn't know anything of God or the work that he had done for Israel. Now, I want to unpack that for just a minute. Moses had led Israel. Moses had been the leader through God. He was their liberator. He led them through difficulties. He received the law. He parted the Red Sea. He received God's provisions in the desert and so much more. Moses was held in a high, high place of esteem, and rightfully so. But Moses is dead at this point. God had taken him out. God had spent time raising up Joshua, developing Joshua, preparing Joshua to take the reins. And what did Joshua do? He took what Moses had done and then went to the next level. He took them on into the promised land. Under his leadership, again through God, they subdued inhabitants. They crossed the Jordan. They divided the land. And Joshua was a mediator for the people. But as we come to this passage in Judges, hear me carefully. Moses has been gone for a while. Now Joshua and his generation is gone. And with their death, please hear what I'm saying. With the death of Joshua's generation also died every eyewitness of the parting of the Red Sea. Every eyewitness of the miraculous provisions in the desert. Every eyewitness of God providing over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, it went from being, "Man, I was there when the water parted," to let me tell you what I've heard. It went from an eyewitness account to oral tradition. It became a story. It became a story. They were good people. They were godly people. But if you really read about that generation that followed, they did nothing to add to their faith. There's nothing recorded of their exploits, of their faith. They showed God's faithfulness and they adhered to most of his teachings, but that was it. They made sure Israel stayed a theocracy. In other words, if you go back, God didn't want them to have leadership like the rest of the world. He wanted it to be led by God, by Jehovah, that he was going to lead them. And that generation worked really hard to make that happen. If you keep going generation after generation, by the time we get to Samuel, they're begging and pleading. Instead of leading the world, they want to be just like the world. They had lost their identity. They had lost it all. And I want you to understand this morning that just like that, there's the same type of thing at work today. We have a generation who saw the Azusa Street outpouring. We have a generation who got saved and ministered in Brush Arbor meetings. We have a generation with these incredible, amazing stories of faith. But then the next generation managed it, but didn't do a whole lot with it. Then the next generation has fallen away. My grandfather has shared with me stories about going in and preaching in a polio epidemic in the middle of a cornfield and people coming to know Jesus. He shared with me stories going in and laying hands on a woman on her deathbed, her being filled with the Holy Spirit, and 25 years later doing her funeral. All of these incredible, incredible stories. But you know what? Outside of what we saw a month ago, for the most part of us in my generation and younger, all they are stories. We've not seen it. We've not seen it. We've not been a part of it ourselves. And so my challenge is that we understand that the church of America looks a lot like the generations in Judges. One generation gets it, the next generation maintains it, and the third generation forgets it. I'm unique in my generation. If we are really kind of becoming a five-generation church, I am smack dab in the middle. There are two generations ahead of me, and there are two generations behind me. More and more, I'm starting to feel middle-aged. I'm going to get a red sports car and a big gold. Never mind. Maybe that's another story. But I think we need to understand that that's going on all around us. So I want to take a moment and I want to speak to the two generations ahead of me. I want to take my part to speak into the generations that are ahead of me. First of all, hear me when I say this. I honor you and we honor you. We honor you. There's a reason why some of you in the oldest end of this generation, you were known as the greatest generation. There's a reason for that. I had the privilege of meeting a gentleman about a week ago, a hospice patient. He was 32-year full-bird colonel in the Air Force, flew F-16s. He flew in part of World War II in Korea, 92 years old. And I just was like, you know what? God bless you, sir. God bless you. I was at all listening to him and talking with him. So I want you to understand, we honor you. We need you. And please hear me when I say this, your time is not done. If you're breathing, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your prayers. We need your love. We need your leadership. But with that said, let me challenge you on what to look forward to in the other generations. I truly believe the generations behind me are incredibly talented and anointed and want desperately to be used by God. They may do things a little bit differently. They may do things a little bit differently. But in 1914, there was a group of people that wanted to do things a little bit differently. And then all of a sudden, we had something called the Assemblies of God that came out of that. Absolutely. So understand they're going to do things differently, but that's okay. It's okay. Can I give you an example? I'm standing here with this. This Bible was the very first Bible I was given when I went into the ministry. This is 25 years old, and it looks like it. The spine's pretty beat up and all kinds of good stuff. But this Bible was given to me by my grandfather, who was a pastor for 50 plus years. And he gave me this Bible. He said, I want to give you your first Pentecostal study Bible. And I will tell you something. If this building were to catch on fire before I worried about my guitars, I'm getting to this. I'm getting to a concordance. I've got some of his sermon notes. But the funny thing is, when he gave me this Bible, he was talking to me about it ahead of time, and he wrote a beautiful note, and I will cry if I read it. But he said, I want to give you this Bible. I want to get you a Bible. Is that okay? I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. I said, that'd be great. And he looks at me and he goes, I assume King James is okay. And I was like, can we do NIV? And he goes, yes. And he bought me an NIV Bible. But I want to share something with you because this was Grandpa. At the very bottom of the note, he wrote me, it says this, if I can find it, here we go. Very bottom, he wrote this beautiful note about surrendering to the call of God, and he says, read 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James Version. And you know what? That was my grandpa, and you know what I did? I read it in the King James Version. And you know what, to be honest with you? The way he did church many years ago and the way I pastor now is different. It is very different. And I'll be honest with you, I think there'd be a little part of him at first that'd be like, okay. Why? Because he would know that I'm different. The generation, our cultures are different, but people are being changed. People are meeting with Jesus. And you know what? While it's not the way he would have done it, he would have been okay with it because he saw the fruit. And so my challenge to you is for my older generations in the house, look down, or don't look down on them, but look at them in a way that you can love them. Don't fear them. Embrace them. They're incredible. God has huge plans for them. He wants to do amazing things in them. But what they need more than anything else is someone to say, you know what? I believe in you. Lloyd McCutcheon, Pastor Lloyd McCutcheon did that for me. I asked him early on, I think I've been the pastor for just weeks, and I called him, asked his opinion on something. So I'm looking at doing this, what do you think? And he goes, it's your baby now. You decide how ugly it is. I was like, what? And then he laughed and he said, but you can do it. You can do it. And he walked with me and he's done so much. And I'm telling you, to know the fact that he sits here and speaks life into me consistently today, I needed that. I needed somebody to speak into that. David talked about that in Psalm 71:18. He said, so even to my old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Hear me. There is another revival that is coming to America. I believe that with all my heart. I really truly believe it's coming. And the only way it's going to come is a church that is prepared. And we need to see it from you. We need to hear your wisdom, your love, your grace, your incredible testimonies. Scripture is full of examples of people who are examples to one another. We need you to help us raise godly families. We need to, those of you that have been married for 60 plus years, help us understand how to have a strong, godly marriage. Those of you that have walked through some of the toughest times ever and held on to your faith, teach us how to do that. Let us learn from you. Speak into us. Pour into us. Paul told Timothy not to let anybody look down on him because he's young. So here's my challenge. Let's not look down on somebody who's younger in the faith. Let's not look down on a younger generation because they do it a little bit differently. But let's speak into it. Let's pour into it. Because you know what? I believe we may change some things stylistically, but we're going to stay strong on the things that matter. We're going to walk and stand on doctrine that has been tried and tested, but we're going to do it a little bit differently. Walk with us through it. Help us do this together. They're younger. They look different, but that's okay. Final example. When Glenda and I were youth pastoring at Outreach of Love in Springtown, we were there for 6 years. By this point, it's late 90s. Let's say 97, 98, 99, somewhere in that area. There was a lady that was in her mid to upper 70s then. Her name was Leatis Hagen. She came to me one Sunday morning. The church was probably around 325, 350 at that point. Our youth group was about 75. She came up to me. She said, can I come into your youth services and just intercede and pray for students? I was like, yes. However, it's loud. She said, I know. I said, okay, it's dark. She said, doesn't matter. I said, it's not probably what you're used to. She said, it doesn't matter. Are you preaching the word? Yep. Are they worshiping Jesus? Yeah. I don't care then. She came into the back door. I remember because I played on the worship band. She would come in about 2 or 3 minutes after seven, after service had already started. And she stood in the very back, right back there, hands in the air, interceding and praying. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. But what was neat was as worship ended, she would sit down on the back row with her hands like this, and she continued to intercede and pray the entire time I preached. After about 6 weeks of that, she started building relationships with some of the students. And so when we gave an altar call, she'd be down praying with students, just spending time crying with them, loving with them. 4, 5, 6 months, something like that, after all that had happened. She lived in Springtown. It was a windy road. She was blinded by the sun, missed the curve, and drove off the road and was killed in a car accident. And I'll never forget, I had the privilege of helping do her funeral. And her casket was at the front as I watched 45 teenagers come in grief. 45 teenagers because of one woman who didn't care that they did it differently or louder or darker or any of those things. What she cared about was that kids needed to meet Jesus. And she loved them and she prayed with them and she cared for them. And I watched one after another come by and grieve her loss because of an impact she made. I'm telling you now, you can pour into the next generation, but you have to be intentional about it. So with that said, I'm going to ask Pastor Sterling to come and take us to the next step.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. You know, it's funny that you said that about your Bible. I figured I'd get this as well. My grandfather bought me this Bible when I was, I think, 6 years old. And I've had it ever since. And it's a New Living Translation, so we took it another step to the more modern approach. But I just wanted to talk to you guys about, I wanted to talk to the younger generation for just a few moments, since he talked to the, as Carlos put it, the more experienced generation. I thought that was really good. Way to make that happen. And Pastor Jeff talked about investing in the younger generation. And I have to say, I know that that's what is supposed to happen, but I also, on the other side, like to understand the other thinking, and I gotta say, I know that it's hard sometimes. I get it. We're a lot of times like aliens from two different planets. You guys know what I'm saying? I'm looking at some of you trying to wait. I'm waiting for that nod. We're like aliens from two different planets, and the younger people can say amen to that. But there's a lot of differences. So I just wanted to show you guys a few differences. One of them is just music. You know, if you ask a teenager, if you make the reference, who are you gonna call? They'll go, oh, wow, you guys totally ruined my joke. They totally stole my joke. I was going to say, I don't call anyone anymore. I would just text. It's way faster. What are you talking about? I deleted that app on my phone. So, but, you know, do you guys call anyone? Okay, well, then I don't know what I'm talking about. Pastor Preston, if you want to come up. No, I'm just kidding, but there's a lot of differences. So music is a difference. There's technology. A lot of students can text faster than their parents can speak. Isn't that just amazing? You guys know what I'm talking about. I see you doing it during my sermons. But that's another point. And then another difference that we have is a lot of pop culture. If a teenager ever asks you how great you think Adele is, don't say, yeah, I really like my Dell computer. I think it's great. Because they're not talking about a computer. They're talking about the singer. There's a lot of differences with pop culture. On the other hand, there's a lot of things that adults maybe separate. They know differently than teenagers. So taxes, you know, I just thought of some different things. Things teenagers don't know how to do. They don't know how to do taxes and, you know, health, insurance, health, life, car insurance, a lot of different things, and grocery shopping. Sometimes teenagers don't know how, or even young people like myself, we just do online shopping now with groceries, even at Walmart. If you don't, never mind. But when I was a kid, I just wanted Gushers and Mountain Dew from Walmart. And I think if my mom would have let me do that, I would have had like a third arm by now, and all my teeth would be missing. And that would make it really hard to lead worship, so I'm glad that that's not the case. But the point is that we're different. The generations are different, and I get that. It's like we're aliens from two different planets. But I want to say, to not just the teenagers, but to the younger generations, instead of arguing who's smarter and who's more relevant, I think that it's really important that we ask ourselves a different and more important question. And then that question is, will I listen? I want to read to you guys a passage from the Bible written by a guy named Paul. And we talk about him a lot in youth. He's the most famous missionary in all of Christianity. And he worked with this guy that was a lot younger than him named Timothy. And you guys, we've even referenced that today. But Timothy was kind of like his protege. He spent a lot of time with them. They traveled everywhere together. They worked together until eventually Timothy, he learned enough, and he went off and worked with his own people and led his own group of people. It's very important to know this. Paul taught Timothy a lot about how to work with older and younger generations. And Timothy, he could have ignored his speeches. Kind of like, I think a lot of us as young grasshoppers, we like to ignore the people that are giving us speeches, the old people that are giving us speeches about how to wax floors and paint fences. You know, sometimes we just don't listen all the way. You're welcome for that reference. But anyways, Timothy took what Paul said and he acted on it. He acted on it. He listened. He took it and applied it to his life. And he treated Paul as someone that was wiser, that he could learn from. And we know this because as Paul was in prison waiting for his judgment, he wrote a letter to another church, and he genuinely makes clear in Philippians 2, verse 20, he says, I have no one else like him, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And I was supposed to be up on the slides. That's fine. But Timothy, it was because Timothy was willing to listen to Paul. Hear me. This is a big thing for me as well. We're talking about honor today. I'm very passionate about this. Timothy was willing to listen to Paul and humble himself to understand what he was saying. And Timothy, because of that, earned Paul's respect. And not just Paul's respect, but he eventually earned the respect of the entire community of Christians. And it all began with his willingness to listen to someone older than him. So the same is true for us. I want everyone that's in some of the younger generations here to think for a moment with me about how you respond to the older people in your life. Are you treating them with respect? Just think about it. Do you listen to them? And are you learning from them? Again, I'm really passionate about this. I'm always open to wisdom. And as Pastor Jeff was talking about honoring the pastoral staff earlier, I just had to say, I think it's interesting. I've never enjoyed spending time with a pastor as much as I have Pastor Jeff. And as much as he is really goofy and fun and kind of crazy and says a lot of off-the-handle things, and I love it. I love it so much. You guys have no idea. But the honor is still there, because you do have a calling and you do pour into us and lead us as not just a church, but a staff, and you care for us. So it's important for me to think these things as well. Will I listen? Am I willing to learn from you? And the older generation, they may not be smarter than us when it comes to pop culture or video games or even the latest fashion trends, but in a lot of ways, their experience can make them wiser than you. So the question shouldn't be, am I smarter than the adults in my life? The question should be, what can I learn from the adults in my life and their experiences? And will I honor them? And will I listen? Pastor Preston, come tell us what we're supposed to do with this.
Thank you, Pastor Sterling. Yes. Before I jump in, I would like to say that I will also answer to Reverend Reedy and Pastor Preston. Alliteration is very important in my life. So another P word would be participation. I really enjoy participation. Jackson and Braden, can you help me with something real fast? Can you come up here? I'll also take Benel and I'll take Dallin. Will you guys come up here? All right. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you're you're funny. All right, but you bounce back fast. All right, so kids of all different... Where are you going? There you go. They want to see you more than they want to see me. Trust me. All right. Kids, students, teenagers, teachers, parents, grandparents are all familiar with instruction. They all understand different things. So boys and everybody out here, when I say something, if you are a teacher, a grandparent, a parent, you've ever said this, please raise your hand. And kids, students, you guys, if your moms and dads have ever said this to you, or maybe your grandparents, raise your hand. Here's the first one. Don't sit so close to the TV. Ever hear that? Yeah. How about, did you brush your teeth? Did you wash your hands? With soap? Mm-hmm. Yeah, make sure to wear a coat. It's cold outside. Anybody? Anybody? Gotta eat your veggies. Anybody? No. Okay, good. At least there's one. How about some more like dangerous ones, like don't play with matches, or you can't go outside right now. It's a hurricane, right? Those kinds of things. Yeah. Don't run while carrying sharp objects, right? Like scissors, right? You hear those. All right. How about eat a good breakfast? It's the most important meal of the day. Yeah? Benel has heard all of these. All right. How about get that out of your mouth? Anybody? All right, Benel. Don't worry, me too, bro. I'm right there with you. I still hear that today. All right, and the last one is don't read in dim light. It's bad for your eyes. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Thank you guys so much for your help. You guys can be seated. All right. I literally have the best job in the world. Literally. Paul, Pastor Sterling mentioned, writes a lot of letters of the New Testament, and they are full of instructions and directions and how to live life for God and how to live life with each other. Those are just some fun examples of some instructions we hear growing up. We hear from generations who have been there before. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, like Pastor Sterling said, but he also writes to a young pastor on Crete by the name of Titus. And we're going to look at Titus 2, 4 through 8. It says, these older, yes. Oh, you guys are on point back there. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. Then he jumps into the dudes. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works for every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. I'll come over here for you guys. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. All right, that's a lot of verses. That was a lot of talking. I could speak all month on this, right? There's a lot to unpack, but we're only going to take a look at a few things. Verse 3, the older women could teach and encourage the younger women in the church by word and example. That's really important because he's saying not just teach, not just do as I say, but also by example and encourage. He's telling the older generation to speak life, to build up the younger generation, to not just speak it, but to live it. Then he goes into the men and he says, or he urges to teach self-control. This time as his singular requirement for the younger men. Young men today, let's be honest, much as in ancient times, sometimes we can lack self-restraint. Sometimes we can lack common sense. Sometimes we can lack that self-control. But that one of the easiest ways to learn this is what Pastor Sterling was talking about, and even Pastor Jeff in the beginning, is by listening. Listening to people who have walked through life already, who have already made that experience, who have been there, done that. Take the time to learn from them, because Paul is telling Titus, then you will save your life much trouble if you heed the advice of the generations around you. You see, honor is taught, it's exampled, and it is seen. Like it or not, we're always being watched by someone. And we can always be an example for someone. We can be examples to people older, people the same age, and people younger. That's how that works. Older, same age, younger. Right? A great way, or a great example of this, is my father, who is older than me, and my big sister, who is older than me. And they are here this morning. They have left their church. They have given up a Sunday at their church to be here and honor me and honor the call on my life. And to my father and my sister, I say thank you. Thank you for honoring me. Thank you for being here. Yes. But then Paul kind of throws it back onto Titus. He's like, here you go, man. I'm telling you everything you do and everything that you teach. But you have to also live it out. You have to take your own advice, right? You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. You must set an example yourself so that people can't oppose you, so that your teachings can't be argued. If you want someone to act a certain way, be sure that you live that way yourself. Then you will earn the right to be heard, and your life will reinforce what you teach. This morning, in a little bit, we're going to have a time where we're going to give you a chance to honor the generations and to speak life into the generations around you. Kind of recap in the beginning with Pastor Jeff, honor builds up, dishonor tears down. Honor elevates, dishonor decimates. That's all my hand motions. But to all the generations here today, first I want to say that I love you. And what you bring to this church is incredible. But I want to also challenge you to be an example to the generations around you. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Older generation, Pastor Jeff talked about it. He talked about honoring down. You can also honor this way, remember? You can honor to the people around you. Younger generation, you guys can honor up. You can still honor down, because everybody right here, there's somebody younger than you somewhere, all right? And you can honor this way. Like, just think of it as rows of chairs. You can just honor everyone who's sitting next to you. Like, that's how this motion works. But raise your hand if you're in kids' church. Raise your hand if you go to Kid City with Pastor Preston. Yeah, awesome. Did you guys know you can set examples for the other kids in kids' church? By the way that you act, by the way you respect Pastor Preston and the team, the way you participate, that shows the kids in kids' church who are younger than you how to participate, how to respect. But you can also be an example for the preschoolers who will be in kids' church one day. Teenagers, you guys can be an example to the fifth graders who are going to be joining you in August. You get like five of them. It's incredible. Everybody has an opportunity to be an example to somebody around them. Your life and your time says so much. And as we're still in this little recap area, go back to what Pastor Sterling said. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to understand another generation. Sometimes it's hard to show that honor because of a lack of understanding. You feel so alienated. Younger generations, we sometimes have a hard time honoring up and seeing the value in an older generation because we want everything now. We want everything handed to us, right? We have smartphones. Mine's in my pocket, and it shouldn't be. But mine's in my pocket, and everything is at our fingertips. We have microwaves. Every restaurant now delivers to your house. It's crazy. We want everything now. You see the hard work and the status of your parents, and you think that should just be handed to you. You know, you think, oh, well, you know, I'm the rightful heir of my father's hard work, so boom, right? No, no, no. You got to work hard yourself too. It goes both ways. Older generation, younger generation. Here's the biggest thing, and Pastor Sterling hit on this. Are you taking the time to listen to each other? Are you taking the time to listen to somebody who has life experience on you, who has walked through these, through these challenges, who can save you trouble? Are you modeling it? Romans, another book by the greatness that is Paul, says that we need to outdo each other in honor. Outdo each other in living that example. Just imagine what would happen if we did that here, but not just here, but when we left today, when you go back to work tomorrow, when you go back to school, and you are showing honor in your classes. You're showing honor to your teachers when other classmates are not. You're showing honor to your employer when other coworkers are not. You're showing honor in the community that you live in. Imagine the difference it would make if you truly show honor and just simply took the time to listen and be that example.